On Midwest Week, living on the minimum wage and common money mistakes. I'm Herb Trix, and my guest this week is Sarah Ritter, business reporter for the Quad City Times. So, Sarah, what prompted you to live on the minimum wage for a week this summer?
Well, yeah, I just started as a business reporter a few months ago, and I've started a weekly column called Cash Course, which is basically an experiential column where I go out and talk to financial advisors and do different stuff and try to figure out my own personal finance journey and try to reach security. It's really prompted from I never took classes in high school about, you know, finances or money or anything like that. In college, I didn't learn anything. I could have been more proactive, but, you know, nothing was presented to me. And I've learned through doing this column, a lot of people are in that same situation. We're all kind of assumed that we know what we're doing. And, you know, nobody really teaches you, families don't talk about it, and that sort of thing. So that's kind of the column. Some days I do different stuff, and or some weeks I go out and, you know, do more interactive stuff, and this was one of those. So, you know, different politicians have done the living the minimum wage challenge, which is mostly the federal minimum wage, which is $7.25, which is the same in Iowa. So that's been going on for a few years now, but I was really wanting to do it because of different studies that have come out recently, which say that in Iowa, you really can't afford rent if you're on the minimum wage. A study by the National Low Income Housing Coalition said that you need to make $1,501 an hour to rent a, in quotes, modest two-bedroom apartment, which is about $781 a month. In Davenport, a lot of one-bedroom apartments are more expensive than that. So, you know, $15 an hour, most Iowa jobs are paying less than that. I think it's...
Well, the Iowa minimum is, what, $7.25?
$7.25 in Iowa. Illinois is a little better, which is what I started off with right out of high school. I was making $8.25, so I've never made Iowa's minimum wage, which also kind of interested me to, you know, kind of take the challenge for a week. And I also, you know, throughout doing it, I kind of kept checking my privilege and realizing how kind of, you know, almost just very privileged it is to say, okay, well, if you break it down, for $7.25 an hour, if you're working full-time and you take out average rent and those expenses, it basically breaks down to you have $77 a week. A lot of people, you know, if you have kids or different expenses, that's going to be a lot less than that. But that's kind of the standard for how people do the challenge. So that's what I did. And yeah, I just realized, you know, I felt like it would be kind of returning back to college when I was making more like $10 an hour, but I was working like three jobs and paying tuition and different stuff. And, you know, I was working way over 40 hours a week, and I was still, I write in my column, you know, eating McDonald's $1 chicken sandwiches and stuff like that. So I thought it would be more like that. But again, I've never lived with this little amount of money. And it was really kind of shocking to see just how little it actually was. And I could spend that much on groceries in 1 week easily and probably spend more than that on a daily week.
So $77 was basically what you had to work with minus rent and all that. So you're talking, what, gasoline, groceries,
yep, and then,
everything.
You know, soap, if you need any other random expenses. Yeah, I ran out of gas a lot. I drive a lot for my job. So that was where all my money went through. And that's when I went through the red like halfway through the week. It was really pathetic. It was a pathetic week. I had a lot of friends buy me food. I had, you know, friends buy me coffee and drinks and stuff like that too. I still lived a very comfortable lifestyle because of that. And so, you know, I wrote in my column that it was more of a choice between wants and needs. You know, I bought non-organic produce instead of the organic produce I buy because I have a very privileged life now. And, you know, different stuff like that. So, you know, I ate the same meal every week or every day. I ate like rice and beans and that sort of thing and tried to limit it. But it was like, you know, I'd walk in Target and I was like, okay, I'll wait a week and I'll get those shoes later. It was, you know, kind of putting off the things that I wanted rather than really taking the time to think about, well, what if I had to live this way for a year, for a lifetime or whatever? So,
or even a month.
Yeah. So it was a very, very small, limited view into what it's like, but it did feel more like returning to whenever I was making $8.25 an hour, kind of right out of college or right out of high school.
So, from doing this, do you think we need to raise the minimum wage or at least consider it, or what else might we? What sort of lesson did you get from all this?
Well, as a reporter, I guess I won't give my opinion on
Well,
that.
All right.
But I have, you know, I've interviewed a lot of people who make higher than the minimum wage. I interviewed a lady when I did a story about the United Ways of Iowa. They released a report which looked beyond the poverty level And it really talked about people who just can't afford basic needs. And that's in the ALICE threshold is the name for that. Mm-hmm. And it's almost half. It's like 40% of Iowans, a little less than that, cannot afford basic needs. And these are the people who are making less than $15 an hour. So, you know, it's a lot of people. And it goes over all genders and races and ages. You know, it's every demographic is affected by this. And most people I know are in this demographic still, you know, in their early careers right out of college. So I think, you know, it's a lot more than just raising the minimum wage, but that's definitely, you know, it hasn't been changed in a really, really long time. And, you know, the cost of living is going up. The cost of housing is going up considerably. It's really high in Iowa. And, you know, and unemployment is at a significantly low level right now compared to the past 15 years. So, you know, it's interesting that wages aren't changing along with that.
Now, you've also written some other columns having to do with common mistakes and problems people have. One of them was the 5 most common mistakes. And looking through them, I thought that, I'm maybe committing a few of these still.
Yeah, that's what I tried to go for, is ones that we all do maybe on a, you know, a regular basis. So one of the things that, and it's been really nice just having kind of a network of financial advisors in the Quad Cities now that I can call. And I'm using myself as an example each week for the columns. And so I'm kind of putting myself out there because I don't think most people are comfortable talking about their finances. And so maybe I can be that person and then people can learn through my mistakes. And that's kind of the fun part about it, too, is being honest about the failures. And, you know, my very first one, I'm starting with kind of baby steps and they're getting more complex as they go on. So I did just the basic budgeting. And even in that, I was making so many mistakes. You know, you budget for bills and rent and everything that you need. But, you know, my money just goes out the door and it seems like I don't know where it goes, but it goes to clothes mostly. But so I've really learned to kind of, you know, I now every time I spend money, I put it on an app in my phone. Before I spend any money, even on bills, I've now put it into savings. You know, you pay yourself first, and I've put more toward retirement and different stuff like that. So it's been really neat. And like I said before, the nicest thing is just kind of having a network of people I can talk to openly about money. And the Planning Center in Moline has been really great. Brian Ramsey from Ameriprise has been really great. And just kind of creating a safe space to talk about money that a lot of people never had. There's, you know, Junior Achievement and College for Kids and stuff now, where I think it's getting maybe a little bit better for some kids. But I never had that. Even with my family, we never talked about money. So that's been really nice, doing the column and tackling different things. I talked about student loans and student loan debt, and that was also a really neat one to kind of learn that you don't have to wait the 10 years and just pay the minimum. You can actually be really aggressive about it, and if you put your money toward the right places, you can really get that down and mm-hmm. taken care of.
Now, do you think the situation is similar for other people your age, sort of in their 20s and dealing with student loans and basically entry-level jobs?
Yeah, I've doubted that a lot writing the column. I'm like, do I sound like I just don't know what I'm talking about?
Is it just me?
Yeah, right. You know, do I sound like an idiot when I'm writing this? But I've had so many people reach out to me and say, this is exactly it. This is exactly my situation. I never had classes growing up. And I saw a recent study that in Illinois, it was 22% of millennials or people kind of in their 20s and 30s are financially stable, and the rest, you know, can't really handle an emergency or can't really handle, you know, if they lose their job and different stuff. So I think it is a big problem. I think that, you know, we don't talk about it. Our society tells us to spend and not think about it and worry later. So yeah, I'd like to think it's a big problem.